Welcome to the podcast of tomorrow, or possibly The Simpsons now and then. I don't know. We're talking about two episodes, just like the olden days. And pod means pod, and cast means cast. And here's Alex Kidd.
Was that a thing we used to say? I say. So this is our mid-season Futurama episode where we just finished season four, about to start season five. So Lindsay and I, on a whim, said, "Oh, let's watch The Simpsons." But I will say that we're recording on a Saturday morning here, and I woke up at 4 a.m. with a little bit of insomnia. Like I woke up just being wide awake, and part of me thought, you know, I have time to watch all of Hugh Jackman's Oklahoma right now. I did not end up doing that, but I thought that
That
would
is
be a good
travesty.
bit to come on very prepared to talk about Oklahoma.
Oh my God, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think that's it. I think you nailed
Excellent.
it.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, you suggested that we talk Simpsons, and I was like, what a lovely idea. And it just worked out beautifully. And then it made me actually, I went back and I was like, let's revisit to see what we did talk about in The Simpsons then and now. For anyone who doesn't know, we used to have a podcast where we talked about an old episode and a new episode, and they were loosely connected by a theme. And I went back and I was like, what did we talk about? Famously, this is now on Spotify. And I just like flipped through a few of them, and they seem pretty good. I don't know.
Is it still on Spotify?
Yeah, it's I always refer to it when I cross promote. I always go a Spotify exclusive.
Due to us not paying the hosting fees
Yeah, I don't
on
know how it's
podcast.
still there, but part of me is like, should we bring it back? It sounds great. But yeah, I don't know.
We
It's
did put a
good.
lot more effort into Simpsons Then and Now. We watched two episodes. We usually booked a guest. We sometimes booked international guests that were very excited to come on the show. We got
Yeah.
interviews with the creative team. And
Yeah.
now, you know, you would think I don't know if we actually worked harder, but things just landed on our lap with Simpsons. Nobody has reached out to us about Futurama. Nobody
That's
wants to come on
correct.
Futurama. No creative has told us that we're doing excellent work.
Which is funny because, like, I think this podcast is much easier to find.
Probably, Simpsons Then and Now never really took off in the SEO. The greatest joke ever is rebranding it to Simpsons Now
Now
and
and then.
Then.
Yeah.
Just every
Yeah,
now
we
and
would
then
just
we
do it
do
once
one.
in a while. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was looking and I was flabbergasted to see there was an episode that we did with Mike Bloom that wasn't the Brant Steel, where he talked about Lemon of Troy
I remember
and
Lemon of
something
Troy. I have
else.
no idea what the other episode was. I
Yeah.
remember recording that one. That one's like a location-based memory for me of where I was recording that one.
That episode clocked in over 2 hours long. So I was like, what is
It
this?
was
It's like over
COVID, you
two
know.
hours. Yeah. And then I edited it. What are we talking about? Yeah. And I didn't even remember that we had done that episode. But yeah, it was over 2 hours long. And now when we go 40 minutes, I'm like, oh my God.
What was the other episode? Can you pull it up? What
Yes, I
did
will
we do
pull it
with
up.
Lemons with Troy?
Yeah. And I was thinking like maybe so to give people advance warning, there will be a period where I am away for a couple of weeks imminently. And I was like, maybe we should re-release a couple of these, like find the best ones. It was called Wild Barts Can't Be Broken.
Okay, I'm gonna guess that's like a
And
Shelbyville episode. That's like the only connection that I could think of.
yeah, I'm guessing so. So it says, this week we're joined by Mike Bloom to talk about youthful escapades. So I said, followed by a real stretch of the term Modern Simpsons with Wild Barts Can't Be Broken, season 10, episode 11.
Oh, it's the curfew episode of the one that ends with the like
Oh,
musical
yeah.
number of Kids Will Be Kids or whatever.
Right. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah, it says, join us as we talk about wearing your backpack over one shoulder, visiting drive-ins, and whether any horror movie can match the anxiety-addled brain in the time of COVID.
All those sound classic. Wow.
Yeah, so
Just
I don't
rerun all
know.
these. Yeah.
So that's great. We have, yeah, I spent 2 hours and 12 minutes on Cape Fear and Gone Boy, plus a bonus interview with Rob Oliver.
Cape Fear and Gone Boy. Was that Shannon Gust? What did Shannon do with us?
I think that's right. Let's see. Yes, Shannon Gust to discuss two Sideshow Bob episodes that also feature operetta. And then we also talk about what it means to be a Zoom kid, shows that scared us as children, and what song Shannon has a love-hate relationship with.
Wow. I mean, this is I guess be prepared for just rambling about nothing in this episode. Shannon is a Australian, Rob has a podcaster who did a Simpsons episode with us. And then I have not spoken with Shannon in 4 years or whatever. She was recently in New York and it was like, oh, at the Survivor viewing party and stuff. I did not end up going, but I was wondering, oh, if I go talk to Shannon, will she have any memory of doing The Simpsons, Cape Fear, and whatever other episode, and also the, replaceable level dude who was on that podcast with her. Will she have any memories of me?
Yeah, so I spoke to Shannon a couple times in the last couple of years talking about The Crown, and I think on the, I mean, this isn't to like put Shannon on blast. She did not remember initially, but then I said like, "You came on The Simpsons," and she was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, of course!" And then she did remember it once I, planted it back in her head. But
Oh, no shade at Shannon for not remembering that.
yeah, she has much bigger things going on, literally on television. So yeah, so there's good stuff in here. I feel like there's stuff we could re-release. Some of them I don't think I have backed up anywhere, but I could probably get access.
We figured out. So you're gone for a couple weeks coming up.
Yeah, so we've got this big whirlwind thing coming up where we've got like two weddings and a trip, and we're also going to Vancouver in there. So lots going on. I'm sure we can probably find time to record at certain points, but while on vacation, probably not.
Big update in my life. The window across from my desk now has a family of pigeons nestling in the windowsill, and they just landed, and I can hear them rustling around. And it's a bit, I feel bad. Like I can like knock on the window and try to scare them away, but it feels a bit bad. They're like,
Yeah,
they're just
just living their
chilling. They're just
lives.
trying to live their life.
They heard someone was very pigeon friendly, had said on multiple public podcasts that they didn't mind the gentle cooing of doves, and
The
they thought, you know what? Seems like a
cooing.
safe place for me. Yeah, the mourning doves, the update on them, they definitely are still out there, but I don't hear them every day. So I'm thinking that maybe they're like
Moving on.
less. I don't know.
Right. That's the thing that I also part of me worries that a lady pigeon landed here, and then I can't quite know, I can't quite tell if multiple male pigeons are coming up here, like investigating what's going on. So might be a bit of a bachelor pad or a bachelorette pad.
Yeah, maybe. He'll have to keep us posted on the pigeon watch. Oh, good, good. All right. Well, so what are we doing today? We decided to just talk about The Simpsons. We specifically watched two Conan-centric episodes. Famously, Conan had a new show come out this week, so we decided that he needed extra cross promotion. So we decided to talk about him.
I forgot that the show even came out. I want to do Conan stuff just because of his iconic Hot Ones appearance,
Yeah, so he's
where
on
he
Hot
promotes.
Ones. His new show came out, and we were like, you know what? He could probably use some promotion to them
That
gay-ish people.
Did you watch the new Conan show? Do you have
I've watched the
plans?
first two episodes
Oh,
so far.
wow. How
Yeah.
is it?
It's very silly, but it's very fun if you're like into Conan's brand of shtick, which I think most people are.
The Hot Ones appearance was incredible. The story about almost getting gored by a water buffalo, amazing. Like if Conan were to die an early death, that should be the way that it happens, where the funniest man alive dies in a freak water buffalo accident on his set.
Yeah, I so when he was telling that story, I was like, no way is this true. This is clearly a bit where he's just like describing what would be an absurd thing to happen on a talk show. And then there's footage of it on the internet. And I was like, oh my God, how is this real? How did anyone think this is a good idea? I feel like everyone's always like the water buffalo, the most dangerous animal in all of Africa or whatever. And it's like, let's just have it in with our studio
And
audience.
have him ride it.
Yeah, and have him ride it. Oh my God. And then the fact that someone was like, don't get on that thing. Like it was like Andy Richter, like, don't ride that. What are you doing? And then did you watch the footage of his bruise?
I did not. I did a very brief Googling search for the footage and I didn't find anything. I figured, you know what, it's probably best that I don't see Conan get injured via water
Yeah, though
buffalo.
the footage of him falling isn't like horrific or anything. He just like falls off the thing. They don't like zoom in on him on the floor or anything. But he does show off the bruise the next day, and it is quite something. Yeah.
What's your Conan background? What How much did you watch of his stuff? I know you're a avid listener of the podcast.
Yeah. An avid listener of the podcast and avid, like once in a while watcher of his show, but like was not. I think I was very much like, oh yeah, he like wrote on The Simpsons a bit, and there's the famous Bart episode where he's like, only I may dance. Like, so yeah. Anyway, so I was like aware of him, but not a big fan until the podcast, honestly.
I feel like I got wrapped up in the Jay Leno of it all in like 2010, 2011, and like followed that. I have like vague memories of there was like a live stream of the Conan offices that we just like put on the background in our college dorm room, and then I watched the first couple of weeks of his new show, whether I forget whether that was his Tonight Show appearance or whatever he did after he got kicked off the Tonight Show. I think it probably was the Tonight Show. We watched the first couple of weeks and then ended up falling off. And then what? He did TBS for a while, and then he
That
currently
sounds
has
right.
nothing other than this new travel show.
Yeah, and then the podcast, obviously, but yeah, no, like weekly gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, really enjoy the podcast. I think it has like a zillion listeners. So, but yeah, if anyone is not aware, go check out Conan's much more
Yeah.
successful podcast. But yeah, and like I think it was also timely to talk about the monorail episode. Baffling that we never talked about it apart from in the musical bracket that we did with
Yeah.
Jeremy once upon a time. But we never actually talked about it. And then this past couple weeks with the solar eclipse, we obviously talked about that. And then it tied in nicely with the fact that we talked about Leonard Nimoy in our Futurama episode last week. So just, much like our old approach where we did have something linking the episodes together.
Yeah, so we did. It is strange that we never did Monorail. I guess we couldn't. I guess they've never done another Lyle Landley. That would like be the obvious one if they ever brought back Lyle, which I'm kind of surprised they haven't done yet.
I mean, like, because it's Phil Hartman, I'm sure they were like, we can't bring back this
Sure,
character. And, like,
yeah,
I'm sure we haven't seen, like, Troy McClure or,
that's a good
the other
point.
guy, Lionel Hutz.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That is just absolutely why it is that way. But yeah, no, really, no reference to the monorail as far as I know. Elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And obviously, we didn't look into it, but
But we'll assume that to be true.
yeah, I mean, we could have done some sort of like, the town does something wacky, and I'm sure there would have been something, or like something maybe train related. Could we have done that? Like we definitely got like pretty loose in some of our themes toward the end of that. There were a few though that I was like, this is perfect. Like I was looking back over the old episodes and I was like, these were great links. We did a good
Yeah.
job.
It was a creative idea for a podcast. It was
I agree.
too hard to do because we were filming 2 hour ep or we were recording 2 hour episodes and then also watching 40 minutes of TV, which isn't that
Yes.
bad, but
Yeah,
you know,
and
it was
then
a lot.
editing. And that was like with the edits, it was 2 hours. So it's probably like
Yeah.
a 2.5 hour recording
Yeah.
session. And then, yeah. So he had lives to get back to once COVID
Yeah.
released its stranglehold.
So we watched Monorail and then we also watched New Kid on the Block, which is Bart has a crush on the neighbor. A much smaller episode, almost shocking to know that Conan wrote this, where Monorail is like such a Conan episode and is so off the walls and musical and whimsical and like almost like removed from the reality of Springfield. And then New Kids on the Block or New Kid on the Block is like the most quiet episode of all time.
Yeah, I think it was fun to do these two specifically because like Monorail, as you said, is just such a like giant out of this world episode that even people who don't really follow The Simpsons think of it as like this is a great episode. Like it had an oral history about the episode was made, I think during COVID. And New Kid on the Block is so incredibly grounded and the stakes feel so
And like
low.
forgotten, like I think
Yeah.
most Simpsons fans do not think of this episode right away.
Me, including me, I would say. So I vividly remember as a child, my father was a very big Simpsons fan, and he is the person that I credit with like me being raised by The Simpsons. But he hated that scene where Laura reaches into Bart and pulls out his heart and kicks it across
Yeah.
the room. He thought that was so gross, and so he was always like, "Ugh," and like would change the channel. And so I think that that put me in this headspace of like, "Oh, we can't watch this episode because it's like upsetting to parents." And
Yeah.
watching it back, I was like, "This isn't even that
It's
bad."
like, yeah, it's more grounded than anything else. Like, it's more wholesome than almost any other episode. And I feel like more family friendly than most.
Totally. And I think a lot of the episodes that we always really found good were the ones that were super grounded and super based in like real life stakes. And it's so incredibly easy to put yourself in the headspace of a 10-year-old who kind of likes a little bit older
Oh,
kid. And
yeah.
it's like, she's so cool. And I just wish that she would notice me. And I feel like it's just also relatable and sweet and nice and so funny. And then it's also got it's offset by the all you can eat
Yeah.
fish restaurant.
A number of iconic lines that I still say to this day of, does that sound like a man who had all he could eat? Love that. And then I also love, I can't believe it. Now my pants are chafing me. Incredible
Yeah.
line.
Such a creep that Jimbo Jones. I remember
Yeah.
noting that too, of him just being like, I can't believe it. Should I just like get naked? Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. But yeah, very, very funny. I'm trying to think like what else did I wrote like in all capital letters, like this is the all you can eat episode. Because same thing, or being like, Mrs. Simpson, you are under oath. Like, and when you couldn't find another restaurant, we went fishing. So good.
I believe I was looking on the wiki, I was looking on Conan's wiki for The Simpsons, and they said that he created the character of the sea captain. And so it made me think that this is probably the first episode with the sea captain. He has some who's running the all-you-can-eat shrimp or seafood place. He has some great lines. Is it more iced tea you be needing? And then the little girl like quietly and meekly says, okay. And then he like horribly laughs.
I when you said that, I was like, there's no way that's true that this is the first appearance of him, but it is apparently true. A character first appeared in New Kid on the Block as the owner of the Frying Dutchman. He sued, and they say that he is not a real sea captain.
I love that he's ashamed of not being a real captain when they question him on the stand.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're, starting out going through the New Kid on the Block episode, so let's just stay with this one for a minute. But as I said, I really love the groundedness of the Bart storyline, where he's like going to his grandfather for advice, and he's like going to Homer for advice, and like women are a lot like a refrigerator, 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. I thought that was
Make
great. I
ice.
thought, yeah, they make ice. Yeah, I thought the bit with Homer and Marge arguing about Don Quixote, I was like, that
Yeah.
is Conan right there.
That's the definitely the first time I ever heard of Don Quixote was this episode. I like never knew what it, or I only knew about it from this episode, and I thought it, based on the way that Marge says Don Quixote, I thought it was Donkey Quixote. And that, like, for many, many years, I thought it was Don Quixote.
So in the Simpsons Then and Now podcast, we would talk a lot about how I always found it so funny when Homer would say something that was like remarkably intelligent, and like when he was naming like Supreme Court justice or whatever. But yeah, I love when he's like, I'm like that Spanish guy, the one he fought the windmills. And it's like, what is Homer doing knowing about this?
I do love there's this scene falls into a category of Homer and Marge arguing in bed, and I feel like, or like in their bedroom, and it reminds me of the when Homer gets mad at, what is it? It's I was being ironic, I was being
Sarcastic.
sarcastic. Yeah,
Well,
what is, I think that's
duh.
the Lurleen episode maybe, but Homer puts on a funny voice and goes way over the top and says, I was being sarcastic. Well, duh.
Yes. And I thought that was so relatable here too, where she's like, I really think it was Don Quixote. And he's like, no, no. Okay, fine, I'll look it up. And she's like, well, who was it? And he's like, never mind. Yeah, so good. Also really loved the it's unfortunate how real it continues to be, I guess, but Bart and Laura are playing that arcade game, and he's like, oh no, here comes the conservative judge, like plead insanity, like hit the change of venue button.
I wrote that down. They're playing Death Row, is it called? One an arcade in the Quickie Mart, or a little arcade game in the Quickie Mart. Yes, and they're like, it's like a fighting game in the prison, and they change venue and they end up in Texas getting electrocuted. How does this rank compared to some of the other arcade games? The other ones that I can think of is the My Dinner with Andre that Martin plays. I forget the action that he takes, like Tell Me More or something.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. That's so good.
Do you remember any other ones?
No, I'd forgotten about this one certainly. And now that you say that, I've forgotten My Dinner with Andre as well. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're all just like death ones, right? Touch of death.
Yeah, Touch of Death is a good one. Man, it's hard to search for because they give us real
Oh, true.
Simpsons.
Simpsons arcade games. Noiseland Video Arcade. Oh, they've got a bunch of lists here. Escape from Grandma's House 1 to 3. Oh yeah, because then yeah, I don't remember exactly. It's like she's gonna kiss him or something, and you have to escape. Kevin Costner's Water World.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I don't think we watched that. Fruit Shoot, that was in The Book Job, which we did cover at one point.
I do remember that episode. Don't remember what Fruit Shoot was. I bet that's
No.
like Fruit Ninja type iPad game that
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it doesn't mention the My Dinner with. Oh yeah, there it is. My Dinner with Andre, Krusty's Carnival of Cash, Animaniacs Strong Man. I don't
they.
remember any of these. Touch of Death.
I guess Bone Storm and who's the golfer? Lee Carvell. Those putting
Carvello's
challenge.
Putting Challenge. Yes. Oh my God, so good. You have selected Power Drive. Oh, that's so good. All right.
What else do we have? Oh, I wrote down a couple of, so I watched these episodes like not really thinking that we weren't really going to go beat by beat, and so I wasn't really like writing down the exact plot and just writing down like random little things that I
Vibes.
noticed. And in both episodes, I noticed interesting music cues. In this first episode, there's like a safari music cue when the moose is eating Homer's lawn, and it's like very whimsical. I thought that was really interesting. And then in Marge versus the Monorail, Let me see. What was the music
They've
cue?
got the Flintstones thing at the
Definitely the Flintstones, but there was even another.
beginning. Oh, maybe when they're getting the toxic waste, and it's like do 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 do
Yes.
do do
Yes, it was when Smithers is like hiding behind the tree
do.
and doing the toxic waste. Yeah, so yeah, it made me think like how much did Conan, it made me think about the process of creating these episodes where Conan is the writer on these. He's also, I think, producing some of
Producer,
these.
yeah.
And he produces a lot more. He produces many, many episodes and only has 3 or 4 writing credits. But it made me wonder, like, is he being a part of the music direction or not? And, just like odd whimsical music seems very Conan.
Yeah. One of the things I noted for the monorail one, and same, I didn't really write down like beat by beat, but and obviously the monorail one, I think everyone can kind of just recite the entire episode. But
Yeah.
one of the things that really struck me about that one is just it's so efficient, I think. I was like, this is maybe the least bike race ever. And as a result, they're able to pack in so many jokes about this monorail stuff where I noted, so they do the yabba dabba do thing, which is clearly just like someone thought this would be funny. It takes like 15 seconds. And then we are straight into getting rid of toxic waste. Burns is given the $3 million by minute 3, and that's including the opening credits. And I was like, that is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is like truly no B plot. It is all just monorail stuff, and I
True.
wonder. I can't think of a ton of other episodes that are just A plot. Maybe Lemons of Troy, thinking about that is like very, kid focused, although the adults kind of have a B plot. But yeah, I wonder if like the best Simpsons episodes are just a super efficient, straightforward, we're hitting one storyline the entire way through.
Alex, you and I, from time to time in our chat with Jeremy, will have Simpsons shit posting.
Of
And
course.
one of my favorite ones I'm going to share with you now
Yeah,
because I love it so
wait, look.
much.
Let me get, is it a, one of my favorite formats is there ain't no blank and there never was. And then the second pane is the Monorail Cafe sign, but there's a different image over Monorail Cafe. That's one of my favorite formats.
That's a good one, but no, that's not what it is.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna share this one.
All right. Lindsay is sharing a meme. There's no, I don't want no snrub. A snrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. And then hanging out the faster side of his best friend's ride, trying to ahoy hoy at me. It's a picture of Burns with his snrub mustache leaning out of a car.
Toward the ladies of TLC, so.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, that's like my favorite one ever. And I remember noting it and then being like, oh no, I never saved it anywhere. And then I just quickly Googled like no snrub and then had to go to like, I didn't mean no scrub. I want it to contain no snrub. And it took me
Yeah.
immediately to Simpson shit posting. And that's one of my favorite ones ever. Like the I'm Mr. Snrub just absolutely kills me. I think it's so funny. And the grappling hook out of there, that feels like Conan as well, of like a big nonsensical thing to get out of there.
Yeah, I like Smithers in that scene where he's sitting next to him, and he's also sitting next to one of Burns's goons, who I think is just there for security, I guess. But Smithers says, "I like the way Snrub thinks."
Yes. Obviously, Phil Hartman, incredible as Lyle Landley here. He's always amazing as Lionel Hutz and as Troy McClure. The voice here, he's exactly the same as Lionel Hutz, which I think is very funny. But
Yeah.
this is like an iconic character. The song obviously went very far in our musical moments bracket. Yeah.
So I was gonna ask, how far do you think the song went in our musical moments brackets? Because I actually think it is good. I've seen a clip of it's like a Hollywood Bowl Simpsons night or like Danny Elfman night maybe, where they're playing, a bunch of music from The Simpsons or
That's
movies.
fun.
And there's a clip where Conan comes out and they do the monorail song with him. And it's fun, but it's like 30 seconds long, and it makes
Right.
me, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm comparing it to, but and the whole sequence inside when it's like the call and response and different people in the town are saying that's good, but I don't know how I feel about the ending, the monorail.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, such a tough critic. How far do you think it went? I could quickly check.
I would get, I mean, I think I was the dissenting vote on a lot of these brackets, and so you and Jeremy pushed it through to Final Four.
Wow, are you sure?
I
Are you just
don't know.
guessing?
I'm just
Okay.
guessing.
Yeah, well, there's no way to know. But yeah, people can listen back and let us know how it did because we will re-release it at some point in the next couple of weeks. I think that one was a great one. I'll let you weigh in on another one we should re-release. But I like it got to the point where we were doing Simpsons Then and Now, and I remember feeling like I'm proud of this podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
We should go back to that at some point.
Yeah. Back to that format. Yeah, Futurama then and now. No, thank you. Yes, I also really enjoyed, and I don't know, I'm sure I must have noticed this at some point, but I really laughed at the fact that Homer studying out of the MCAT, which is the monorail conductor aptitude test.
I didn't even notice that this episode. The thing that I noticed this episode was Homer's monorail conductor uniform has a cape, which I think is very
Yes,
funny.
okay. I noticed that for the first time too, and I have that in my notes. I'm like, there's a cape here.
Here's
Oh, that's very funny. Yeah.
a question for you. What's a pen knife?
Isn't it kind of like a little, I mean, I guess I would have thought of it as like a Swiss Army knife, but I guess not. I don't
Yeah, is it a
know.
thing? Have you ever seen a pen knife in real life or heard anyone
No.
talk about a pen knife?
Let's see. Okay, so it looks like it is kind of like a switchblade, which
Okay.
is horrifying.
Okay.
Used for thinning and pointing quills. A multi-purpose tool that combines the functionality of a pen and a concealed knife.
Can have single or multiple blades.
Oh my God, I feel like now I'm on a list.
Yeah. Well, that some of what I was thinking of as I was watching these episodes, where it's like so many of these things are just so foundational to my existence, where it's like, oh, I watched Marge vs. the Monorail for the first time. I heard the term pen knife, and then I just assume pen knife to be a thing, having never seen it in real life, having never seen it in any other context, but like confidently knowing what it is because I've seen the song 1,000 times. Just like so many things in all of these episodes, it's like, oh yeah, this is the way the world works because I saw it as The Simpsons or in The Simpsons when I was 12.
Just accepted it. Yeah. One of the things I noted, I think, for the first time is like how prominent Leonard Nimoy is in this. I had kind of thought of him as just
Yeah.
like briefly appearing for that one line, but he's like annoying that guy, like where he's being like, oh, you know, there was actually an extra opening the doors for us. And then he's like, the
Yeah.
solar eclipse, the cosmic ballet goes on or whatever, looking at the eclipse without his glasses. But we do see that he has some magical powers later. So
Yeah.
I guess that helps. But also, such a hero. Krusty like throws himself out of the train, which I hadn't
Yes.
noticed, like that he fully goes all the
No, the
way. And
world
Nimoy
needs
grabs
laughter.
him and pulls him back in. Like, I hadn't realized that he fully just like jumps out.
Yeah, I do think that the most forgotten Nimoy scene is the one where he's at the bar telling Star Trek facts to the other guy. And I just love how earnest he is. He's like smiling very eagerly and very happy to be telling the Star Trek stories.
And the guy's just like, cool.
One detail on Lyle Landley that I liked that he had two little like Botox lines or like plastic surgery lines or like smile creases by his eyes on the character model. It just like makes him look slightly unhinged, slightly, yeah, like
Right.
plastic surgery and a little bit fake,
That's a good point. I didn't think
or
about
like o
that.
o older than he, you know, if it is supposed to be a plastic surgery thing, it's like, oh, he's older than he looks, he's like hiding something, you know. It's a nice little character detail to just kind of make him seem a little bit more of a trickster guy.
Yeah, I just looked him up on the Simpsons Wiki. Lillard Lewis, aka Lyle Landley, a possible full name. Interesting. Let's
But yeah,
see.
see his two little lines by his eyes.
Yeah, it's cool. He's very similar to Harold Hill in The Music Man. That makes sense. Main difference is that Harold Hill is the main protagonist and actually changes his ways for the better, while Lyle Landley is a villain throughout the entire episode. Victims: North Haverbrook, Ogdenville, Brockway, and Springfield.
Jeez. What else do we have? VR helmets in school becoming
Hilarious.
ever
Yes.
closer to reality.
Simpsons predicted it. We love that shit.
Yeah,
Hello,
yeah.
Lisa. I'm Genghis Khan. You'll defile what I defile. Eat who I
Eat who
eat.
I eat.
Yeah, so good. I love that Lisa, like, so I also just recently watched the Sunblocker one, Who Shot Mr. Burns, and I love that in both of these, Lisa's just like, the only thing I can think of for the town money is to make our public schools way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else here? I think this was just an opportunity for us to just like geek out about how much we love The Simpsons. And it is always a good illustration of how podcasts that talk about excellent TV are not that good.
Yeah. What else do we have from the first episode? Let me see. Oh, I love the waiter at the all you can eat seafood place when Marge says that she's allergic to seafood, and he happily says that the bread has fish in it. She's like, "Does even the bread?" And he's like, "Yes, it does."
Yes. And then she's like, fine, I'll eat some Tic Tacs. Like, excellent choice, ma'am. Like, writes it down very happily. Yeah. I also noted in that episode, right before the like, I'm like that Spanish guy bit, Marge and Homer switch sides of the bed, which is not a
Oh.
common behavior, I don't think.
Like they're sitting on the wrong side of the bed, or like during the scene they switch sides.
They are sitting on the sides opposite to what I normally think of them as
Interesting.
sleeping
I feel
in.
like
So,
I
like,
wouldn't be able to tell you what is what. I would have to actually think about it. If I picture Homer caressing the rotten sandwich,
yes, right.
I believe he's on the left side.
Yes. And so in this scene, she is kind of in that exact same position where she's like lying on her side and is like closer to the whatever the camera on the left side. And he's closer to the bathroom that they have, which is unusual, I find. Because so she's like over there. He's not in bed yet. And I guess it's just like for the visual or whatever. But it just seems odd to see her on that side of the bed. Also noted very much a like, I hope someone got fired for that blunder. The address is also notably different where they say, what do they say? He lives at 1094 Evergreen Terrace. And I think we always associate them with 742 Evergreen Terrace.
Yes, this is when Bart is getting Mo to come straight up kill Jimbo with a rusty and dull knife.
It's just gonna cut you.
This episode is very grounded and does not feel very Conan-y, except for Mo pulling out a rusty and dull butcher knife to murder a child with.
All of the like Homer at the all you can eat place is like the wacky Conan stuff.
But even that, like, I love the reason why Laura is babysitting the kids is because Homer and Marge have like a night court event where, I forget the exact line, but Lisa says like good luck at your trumped up trial or something, as they're leaving for
True.
the night.
There's the truly devastating moment where he calls like the Abby or whatever, and she's like, I'm sorry, this isn't Abby. I take care
Yes.
of her now. And he's like,
No,
no,
Bart.
Bart, put it down. Devastating. But yeah, I also wanted to make a note that so there's the line where Bart prank calls Mo and he's like, oh, Amanda, hug and kiss. And so when I was in high school, we used you could put someone's birthday as like a shout out on the morning announcements. And one of my dear friends put, I'm sure I talked about this before, but
I don't think I've heard this. Yeah.
she was like, okay, it's Lindsay's birthday and this will be my obvious shout out to her. And so instead of putting my name down, she put Amanda Hug and Kiss on the like list
Wow.
of birthdays. But then of course they obviously just like have some random like grade 10 student reading the morning announcements. And so he's like, and happy birthday to Amanda Hug and Kiss.
What a prank. I would be so scared to do that.
Yeah, I mean she didn't have to put like who it was from or anything. She just wrote it
Yeah.
down.
Wow.
But yeah, he put like hug and kiss, and so it didn't work. And also, I just like didn't even pay attention because it wasn't like Amanda hug and kiss.
Right.
So yeah.
That's very
Anyway,
funny.
devastating. But she was like, she ran up to me after school, and she was like, "Oh, ruined."
I have vague memories of watching the writer's commentary on the DVD for this New Kid on the Block episode. And really the only thing I remember was them laughing about how Laura breaks up with Jimbo because he's emasculated by being threatened by a crazed lunatic wielding a knife at him. And she's like, okay, you know what? This isn't gonna work. You're not who I thought you were.
I know you're like a 13-year-old boy, but
Yeah.
how old is
Really
Jimbo
funny.
supposed to be? How old is Laura supposed to be for that matter?
I don't know. Yeah, probably
15?
14, 15.
Yeah. He's got like a little, like, what do you call that? Like a Vespa kind of thing, moped.
Yeah. He does look quite childish though when he is cowering for his life. Like he looks like a 12-year-old when he's doing
But also, like, as like a 40-year-old person, I think if
that.
you someone like broke into your house and they're like, I'm gonna kill you, you'd be like, ah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't blame Jimbo really.
Ruth Powers, kind of sad that she it seems to be two off basically. It's this episode and then Marge on the Lam, which that used to be one of my favorite episodes too. I really loved Chief Wiggum, Sunshines and Lollipops. I love that joke. But that's the
Looks
after.
like this says many for ep so many for appearances are brief background roles. Episodes where she has an active role are in bold, and it is indeed New Kid on the Block and Marge on the Lam. And
Yeah.
then she just like appears in the background of
Like
like
mobs and
20
crowds. Yeah.
episodes. Oh wait, here's another one. There's one called The Strong Arms of the Ma, which I think is that the one where Marge uses steroids?
Oh, God.
Do you remember
Probably.
that? Yeah, it is. It's that one. I think she gets like menaced by, yeah, she gets mugged, which is like very dark.
Yeah.
And then she
Oh,
gets scared to go
yes.
outside. Yeah.
There's, and
Yeah.
I see, I just Googled it, and Ruth Powers is jacked.
Yeah. She becomes a bodybuilder thanks to her old friend Ruth Powers.
Yeah.
I feel like that episode probably doesn't hold up.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. And then background roles. And then finally, one called The Ways We Were, which is from season 33.
I bet we watched that. No, we stopped the
No.
podcast by
Yeah. This is from 2021.
Ways as in traffic jams, as in
Yeah.
the navigation app. Interesting. And yeah, Pamela Reed as Ruth Powers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I looked up the voice actor for Laura and she was apparently like on Big Bang for a little bit and then they were like, we don't know what to do with this
Interesting.
character, and so they wrote her off and I was like, that sounds right.
Did you ever have a older person crush when you were, 10 or 11? Did
Of
you have?
course, yeah, certainly. Yes, I am very much a person who, as a child, was like, I am simply too mature to spend
Yeah.
time with other children my age. And so I was constantly just being like, oh, I'm gonna like develop a crush on this boy who's like 14 or whatever. And
And
often
what
would
were
be
the
like,
qualities of what were the qualities of these boys that you had a crush on?
I don't know. I feel like it was very much just like, oh, are they like
They're
funny?
just, yeah, they're older and funny.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny and old and like look at them. Yeah, it's funny because looking back, it's like, oh yeah, that was certainly just like a fellow child.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm too mature. Yeah, no, I certainly was like, these boys my age are so immature. Obviously, completely unrequited because I was such a dork and clearly was also infatuated with boys who understood that that would have been wildly inappropriate.
Right. I remember I had a big crush on my best friend in like second and third, like, or not even then, kindergarten even. His older sister, my best friend John, had an older sister, Liz, and she would like sometimes play Super Nintendo with us, and it was amazing.
Yeah. I deeply, deeply love the comedian Mae Martin, and they always talk about being like, and then I was in summer camp and I had such a crush on my camp counselor. And like a bunch of their stand-up, they'll be like, yeah, did you ever have a crush on someone who was like maybe a camp counselor who like drove the boat and maybe their name was Jessica Anderson or whatever? So very
Very
funny.
specific.
Yep. So anyway, I don't know. Is there anything else to say about these episodes? This was very fun to just like watch Old Simpsons.
Going through my notes, Bart's reversed eyelids. He plays a prank on
So gross.
Lisa. Yeah, very, very gross, very veiny.
Yes, I always hated that. There were always like a few children who could do this, and I remember being like, I can't even look at this.
Oh
Like,
yeah. I remember there was an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway where Colin, it was the game where they project something behind Colin as if he's a TV reporter. And one episode, it was like a contortionist, like unjointing their joints and stuff. And I was so traumatized by this.
Like even thinking about
I had like memorized what shirt Colin is wearing in this episode. And but then like the issue is that they filmed like 10 episodes on the same day. So
it.
there's like 10 episodes where Colin makes his shirt. So it's like, oh my God, he's in the red sweater. Like, is this going to be the episode? I can't watch this one.
Yeah, very gross. Not into that at all. Yeah, so it's good stuff. Clearly, this is the gross one. It was like the eyelid one and the heart one. So maybe that was why we weren't like encouraged to watch this one as children.
I think the heart thing came up in the director's commentary as well, where they were. I probably should have like fact checked this. And I actually looked to see if I could find the commentary, but it's only on the DVDs that I don't have access to. But I remember them talking about that. And maybe it was a story of like, we were worried that this would be too extreme, or the network was worried that this was too extreme. So I guess they were right. It
Yeah.
scarred your dad.
Like wasn't allowed in the Wilson household, but yeah, I was also thinking in that episode. I am still. We always talk about how just like I am Lisa and my brother is Bart, but this episode I felt like it was especially true where Lisa's being like, "Ooh, Laura's coming over," and I was like, "That's me." And I sent it to Hazel. She was like, "Yeah, that's you, all right." Such a brat. So good stuff. All right, so what are we doing next week? Back to the usual.
Back to Futurama, season 5, episode 1. How many episodes of season 5 do we have?
So here's the situation, and maybe I'll tell people what I'm thinking now. I told you to remind me in June that I had a good idea, but I'll just say it now, and people can weigh in if they think it's a terrible idea. But okay, so we have, let's see, 16 episodes left to go. However, there are three episodes that are the fourth, third, and second last episodes in season five. They are all about Bender, and they're all bad. And I think we
Okay.
should do a triple header,
The
knock all these
Bender
out.
Spectacular.
Bender
Okay.
Spectacular in a 1 week period. I don't feel like we need to go through like, oh hey, this one has lots of transphobia in it. Oh hey, this one is just like bad Bender stuff. Oh hey, this one is about Bender being a bad influence and talking about censorship on television. So
Okay. Yeah, we'll do the Bender. So that's, wait, you said it's the last episodes or it's the second, third, and fourth episodes of the upcoming
second,
season?
third, and fourth from the end. So it's
Okay.
episodes 13, 14, and 15, and
Okay.
then the
That
series
makes sense.
finale of the
Yeah.
original run.
Okay.
So
Yeah,
yeah, so
we'll do that. No need
yeah.
to spend a month going over bad Bender episodes.
I agree. So with that in mind, that means that we will only have 13 episodes.
All right. coming to the end. And then we got to figure out what to do after that. Simpsons Then and Now
Yeah.
returns. Lindsay and Alex just play video games.
Oh, yeah, true. Very long Ocarina of Time, spectacular. Yeah. So weigh in with your ideas. We'll find something that people are into. But yeah, in the meantime, join us next week for Crimes of the Heart, which I can't remember what you thought would be about. But in the meantime, how can people write to us?
Potoftomorrow@gmail.com. Confirmed, no French Canadian listeners. Not a single one reached out to come to the meet and greet in Quebec City. That didn't actually exist. But I'd like the listeners to think of me sitting at a table alone in Quebec City, waiting for our listeners to arrive.
My dinner with Alex.
Exactly.
We've had like drastically lower downloads all of a sudden, and I don't know what's going on.
They're over it.
Maybe, yeah, I guess so.
Potoftomorrow@gmail.com, @potoftomorrow on Twitter. Our most faithful Twitter mentioner said that he has to go off Twitter for a while. I believe he is on active duty in the Navy, if I were to guess.
Oh my
So
God.
thank you for your service, but
Yes.
also don't worry about being off
Yeah.
Twitter. Probably
Yeah, no,
probably
it's
for the
probably good for
best.
you anyway. Yeah. Give the chance, give the bots a chance to step away for a bit. And yes, we wish you nothing but the best.
Great. Yeah, that's all I got.
Beautiful. We'll see you next week.
All right, bye.